Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
He is risen. He is risen indeed, yes. And if you would like to follow along this morning, we will be in Luke 24. I am mostly going to be going over the story and what its meaning is to us for the rest of our year. So, good morning to those who are watching from other places, and I hope you're enjoying this Resurrection Day or some day to follow this Resurrection Day. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, as we begin to hear your word, we're aware of some of the things that are heavy on our hearts in spite of this exciting exuberance of the day. And so we pray for those whose hearts are heavy, and we pray that the story of you walking with others just like ourselves will bring peace and joy to those hearts. And we pray, Lord, that these words here spoken will be words heard as from you and translated by you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what a wonderful time we had this morning on the rocks out there at Two Lights, and it was really, I was stunned by how many people, I mentioned it, how many people get up that early in the morning. I have to say, I really appreciate that I was allowed a place to stay last night here so that I would be here for five. And when my alarm went off at 5 o'clock and I opened my eyes and it was pitch dark, I went, oh, Lord, please make that be a mistake. So, but it really was nice. I wish we could have seen the sun come up. Those who were looking over my shoulder, I think we saw little cracks of light, though. So, and as we were there going through the service and experiencing what was happening in the garden, we had the creation garden, and then we had a gardener come and represent the gardener. And as we did all of that, I thought, you know, we know the sun is there, the sun, S-U-N. We know the sun is rising, and we know that it will come up another day. We expect it will come up another day, and so the same thing is true. We're grateful that Jesus rose from the dead. So it was a beautiful time, and I have a new appreciation for the story. So as we go along, Psalm 24, starting with 1. What we saw was about the women going to the tomb, as was their custom, to bring spices, but the stone was gone, you know? And they were told by two men inside not to look for the dead among the living. Jesus was not there. He had risen. Remembering his words that they had heard other times from him, how the temple would be restored on the third day, they went back, those who were at the tomb, they went back to where the 12 were waiting. Well, actually, it was 11. Judas wasn't there anymore. But they went back to where the 11 were waiting, and they told the story. But probably, in my opinion, exactly the way we would, repeating what had happened, but knowing there really was no proof of what they'd been told, that Jesus wasn't there, that Jesus was risen, and so thinking it could hardly be true. Do you know? Verse 11 says in the scripture I was reading, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. So Peter went back, and he saw the linen cloths over to the side, and he thought, Pat, word in my passage was, it was marvelous. I tend to think, again, this is just me, but I tend to think the women, I mean, you would be hopeful, but you would expect that your hopes would be dashed, and they must have been absolutely protecting themselves from the bigger disappointment, if you let yourself hope. What a horrible thing to have your hopes down. I do that all the time. I look at the worst possible scenario so that I'm prepared for that. And then if anything better than that happens, it's a gift. It's a total gift. So then we heard the story this morning read here, you know, right here, not out on the rocks. And we read in this service of how the two who were walking along the Emmaus Road going away from Jerusalem were talking about all the events of their last few days and how they ran concurrently with the Passover celebration that they have every year and how they were wondering what that must have meant. And this man appeared. I've gone over this any number of times, and the last time I went over it, I went, oh, this man appeared. I've always thought, well, he just kind of came along, was walking along the side of the road, but what if he just appeared? I don't know. I didn't research it. It was the last time I looked at it that I had that thought, but began walking along with them. And the passage says, their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. A couple of things when I read that, I always wonder about that, and a couple of things seem plausible to me. They're not the only things, but if they were like me, like I am, and most people aren't, but I totally miss the obvious. Many of you know that. I can be so caught up in what's on my mind, what just took place, figuring it out, or what's next? What's going to happen next? What are we going to do now? And surely these folks on the Emmaus Road must have been worried about all that so much. And so I miss the obvious who this person might be. Now that's still hard for you to imagine, I think. But really, the thing that is right in my face, or the person who's right in my face, can be the one I miss. In fact, I'm going to confess to you who don't know this. When I decided to bring my membership to Cape Elizabeth Church, which has now been a number of years, it was like 2009 or going into 2010, I was worried that I was going to embarrass myself, which of course I've probably done any number of times, but specifically I was worried. Some of you know I've filled the pulpit here for the last four pastors at different times. And so the congregation here, most everyone, and the leaders, truly the congregation and the leaders have been wonderful to me, but my problem is most everyone here knew my name. And I was always so focused on what I had to do when I came, not messing up anything for the pastor who was away or what would really be awful. Occasionally the pastor was going to be here when I spoke, and really I would be concentrated on what I was going to be doing. And so really, I could be walking in and you could speak to me and I would, after the service, remember, oh, that person spoke to me, and I didn't even acknowledge it. So I not only miss the obvious, I don't engage in the obvious sometimes. So my retention of your names was mush. Besides, you have a whole bunch of same names, Beverly's and whatever else, and a couple of people who look just like each other. I mean, I guess they came late, but whatever. So Pastor John knew it, you know, and when you think about it, maybe some of you knew that and you were just very gracious to me. I don't know. But now you know. And so I asked Pastor John, could we have everyone make sure they wear their name tags? So when he started telling you, you know, we probably need to concentrate on wearing their name tags again so that people will, yeah, it was mostly so that I would have your name in front of me. So that's one of my thoughts, is that maybe they were so sidetracked by their own thoughts and concerns, they missed the obvious. I do think that's not so likely. If Jesus had shown up and walked with me, even with all of that, I don't think I would have missed that it was Jesus if there was any way to recognize him. And so it was a different, even though it was, in my mind, it was a different setting for them, though, perhaps. And there had been a festival and a crucifixion and a burial and an empty tomb. And you know how, if you meet someone like every 6 months in the dentist's office, your hygienist, right? You know who that hygienist is. You recognize that person every time you're in the dentist's office. But if you, on the 4th of July, go to the parade, and then you wind up down at Willard Beach or something, and it's a beautiful sunny day, you might see your hygienist, male or female, and you might think, I know that person. I'm sure I know that person, but I can't figure out who it is or where I know or what they do or anything, because it's not in the same setting. They don't look the same to you. And so it would dawn on you much later, perhaps, maybe when they're working on your teeth. That was a really lousy illustration, wasn't it? Okay, it was good. So in this case, though, Jesus walked with them far enough until they invited him to come in for a meal. The proper thing to do. And when he fed it to them, I think someone here preached on this once recently. It was a very interesting message that I heard about that Jesus took from their shelves and took from theirs and put the meal together and then blessed it and broke bread with them. And then the light dawned and they recognized him and they knew who this man was, offering them their own bread and probably their own wine. And then, as soon as they recognized him, he disappeared. He vanished from their sight. But by then, there was no doubt. They had spent their time with the living Jesus. They went and they found the others. They told them, and in verse 35, they explained how it was when they sat down to eat until then had not known him and to break bread together, and that it was then in the breaking of the bread that they knew they were in the presence of Jesus. And in verse 36, as they were talking about it, there we go again. Lo and behold, there was Jesus right there in the middle of them, telling them not to worry, showing them who he was by the scars on both his hands and on his feet. And verse 41 says, while they still did not believe for joy, isn't that interesting? While they still did not believe for joy, so joyful and so exciting, they marveled, there's that marvelous word again, because they were joyous. So their belief was a disbelief based on what if this isn't true, but they were joyful. And he said, I'm hungry. Have you got anything to eat? And they gave him some broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it right there in front of them, twice in this story. He talked to them, explaining probably as we heard in Acts this morning, some of the connections between history, the scriptures, and his story, and how it had all tied together. And then he said, now you, in verse 48, I think in your passage, you are witnesses of all these things. I'm going to send the Spirit of my Father to be with you, but stay here in Jerusalem until then. And then Jesus did something I find interesting. Just a little side note. But he walked with them out as far as Bethany. In verse 50, he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Imagine that. Just imagine. And now it came to pass in 51, while he blessed them, then he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. It's another day and another story, but it's the Bethany piece. Keep in mind what he left them at that moment, after those two events, is the significance of recognizing Jesus. Over and over during his time in the villages and on the hillside and traveling with the people who caught his vision and those who wanted to understand and those who wanted to be a part of it and those who weren't sure, what Jesus did was very simple. He hung out with people. And so often he broke bread with them. And it was in the eating and the drinking around the table together where the presence of God in Jesus manifested itself. And those joining him had not only their eyes and their ears, but also their hearts opened to Jesus among them. That's such a significant thing that he left with them. And if you keep on with that thinking, this is a story. This story, we believe it, don't we believe it? And it's one that we just can't imagine people denying, but what we know and what we understand seems so clear to us. And we want people around us to understand it. And we want them to get it. And so we tell them, we read our Bibles, and we suggest they read their Bibles, and we share the music and hope that when they listen to maybe a radio station, there'll be some song, and we will share one with them, and we put them on our Facebook pages. And prayer, we pray for them, and we suggest they pray. And we think all of that should be a no-brainer for them to accept what we believe. We're sometimes impatient. We're usually impatient about that. And then we will read a book to see how to make it clearer, how to reach our neighbors, our town, our family, our coworkers. Here's the thing. Jesus didn't really make it all that difficult. I would say not that big a deal, but it was quite a big deal. Except for the miracles, Jesus was just there, listening, letting folks chat about what was going on in their lives. Actually, when I did some training in CPE, chaplaincy ministry, that was what they told me I was going to have to focus on for those whole, 8 months. Noticing what the obvious is when you come into a room, notice what you're seeing and make those observations. That's what Jesus was. Jesus was a chaplain. Jesus observed what it was about people. He paid attention to them. He didn't always even tell them who he was to start with. And when people did warm up to him, when did they understand who he was? When were they open to this amazing presence around them, among them? When they hung around and had a cup of coffee. I mean, to be honest, I don't ever remember reading that they had a cup of coffee in the Bible, but, you know, there was the evening meal. There was the bread and the wine, and those were very special, unique times and connections. Not unique, we can do that every day with someone. But there were picnics on the hillside. There was fishing. They must have eaten together when they were out fishing. That's what it takes, everybody. Being there, letting it happen, relating to each other. And Jesus walked them to Bethany. Why Bethany? Repeatedly in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I read about Bethany, just a couple of miles from Jerusalem, so it wasn't a long journey. It was just close. But it was the place where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived, many others, I'm sure, but his dear friends. They had meals together. When Lazarus took sick and Lazarus died, Jesus was there to raise him from the dead. And it was where Mary Magdalene washed his feet with her hair. and the whole community looked on. Not far, close to where he wanted them to stay, Jerusalem, but the place he and they felt most at home. Here, let's go to Bethany. Let's go all the way to Bethany. That's where I want you to be when I leave. That's what I'm thinking. Jesus didn't do things without intent. That's how I want to remember you. That's what I want you to remember about me. We walked all the way to Bethany, and then we parted, but not forever. Not forever. You knew who I was in that familiar place. You, who are now my witnesses, were in the place we shared together so often when we said our last goodbye. That's the message of Jesus, those last days. It's not the only message, but that's the message I take from these passages of Scripture. And I hope that it will take you somewhere in your mind as you spend time with your community and your family and your friends.
To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.